Blog Talk Radio. Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard. Good afternoon. This is Chatting with Nat. It's Natalie Jean. It's Natalie G. Today, we have the honor of having a recording artist called Ashes. And we're waiting for them to come in. But let me read their bio right now. London-based Brighton former singer Salt Ashes burst into the dance music scene with her full self-titled debut album in 2016. Produced by the late Daniel Fridholm, aka Cool Feet, which quickly gained popularity amongst music fans worldwide. She since released a string of successful singles with stamp approval from tastemakers such as The Guardian, Billboard, MTV, Attitude Magazine, Noisy, Pop Justice, Wonderland, and Clash, with BBC Radio introducing Radio 1 and 1 Extra, and Spotify, NMF, UK, and The Pop List, also showing their support. She has toured with artists such as Tove Stirk, Say Lulu, Nemo, Bright Light, Bright Light, and A's pop sensation Tiffany. Now, with the release of her second album, it's clear to see Salt Ashes is on the verge of becoming a household name. Hotly tipped UK-based alt-pop electronic artist Salt Ashes, real name. She's trying to log in. Well, what you can see is that I'm typing our guest while she's trying to log in. Hotly UK-based pop electronic artist Salt Ashes, real name is Vega Sanchez, on November 5th, 2021, released her highly anticipated sophomore album, Killing My Mind, at Radical Records. The album arrived with the focus on technology. She's going to try to use technology from the UK, so she's just trying to log in. I'm typing right now because no one can see that. Telling her she should be able to log in. People from Ireland. She's trying to log in. So here we are. She has a longer bio than that, which describes the album. I'm going to skip. Let me show you here the description. The dead air. I'm just trying to get through this. I'm just trying to get through some technical difficulties. She's trying to get on using the phone. I said she tried to use the computer. I don't know. We will see if this is going to happen today. I will have to delete this. No. It's okay. This happens from across the pond. Well, normally Yeah. Sorry for the lack of... computer. Or, I mean, there's some hair. We have some dead hair. So I'm going to try to log in. So what are we going to do here? To just sit here and talk about myself, I guess. Well, there's some good news. Sister of Music was just nominated under the media category, being a media outlet, podcasting. So we're really excited about that. I'm still sitting here waiting to do. And I got four nominations plus that nomination. So that's, we're trying to do lots of things here. Flashes is still trying to log in. She's going to try to log in from her computer. But, you know, this is technology. This shows you the indie way. And here she is. All right. I just read her bio. Let us bring her in. This is Salt Ashes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. So I'm just going to tell you, for 8 minutes, it's just me talking. I read your bio. In dead air. There's me explaining. I'm chatting with you, trying to log you on.
I'm so sorry.
Technology is very interesting. There's certain things you can do on your phone and have tab, and then there's certain things you just... Yeah, Jack can't do.
It's exactly.
It's bizarre. But you're on now, so that's good. So, how have you been during this, the past couple of years? Have been crazy with the pandemic, the election, George Floyd, Ukraine. Now there's another version of COVID. I don't know.
I mean, I'm fine. I really can't complain. It's been fine. Obviously, lots of ups and downs and lots of what the hell are we doing? And then moments of just really kind of enjoying the freedom and time and space. But yeah, I can't complain.
Awesome stuff. So one of the questions I ask, first question I ask in the podcast is, obviously we know the past couple of years have been horrible. So many senses of the word horrible. People have lost lives, people have lost limbs, people are dealing with long-term COVID. But on the flip side, there's been positive things that have come up. I read several articles, one recently of people quitting their jobs because they realized they wanted to do something more fulfilling for them, more of a passion. Mm-hmm. It's good for me, but I want to do something that they're excited about. The pandemic has shown people life is really short. People want to go to gusto. They want to go for that dream. Climate change, the levels of pollution went down when we were in the streets. Animals in the trees were very happy. They thought life has not to come back. Well, we had to come back. Family members, were walking together. People cut hours of business because they realized they weren't spending enough time with their family members. And artists like us, they created EPs, albums, singles, created music, did whatever. People decided, no, we're not going to do music anymore. So there was a lot of self-introspection. So during this time, did you have any introspection? Did you change? You were going to be perceived as an artist? What did you think about?
I think during that time, you had kind of no choice but to learn and adapt and all of that kind of stuff. But for me, I think initially, I quite enjoyed the simple life, and I never realized that I would enjoy that because I'm normally very much on the go. I'm always busy, always doing something. Like before the pandemic, I was flying to different countries like nearly every definitely every month and was just all over the place. So actually being able to stop and take a breath, I know obviously that all this terrible stuff was going on in the world, but you know, in my own little world, I suddenly realized that I actually quite enjoyed that simple life and just having the structure and getting up at a certain time and having my routine and all of that kind of stuff I really enjoyed. And then in terms of music, initially actually it hindered it a little bit because initially I didn't feel creative at all for the first, I'd say like 3 months or something. All of my friends and other creators were like, oh my God, I'm being so creative and all of this time and space, it's amazing. And I was like, oh my God, I do not feel that. I was like, I think in a way I was a bit like, cool, I don't need to create anything and I can just be something different right now. And just kind of, I was getting really like cozy at home and like doing gardening and doing all the really non-rock and roll stuff. But I really enjoyed that. And then later on, I then found kind of my voice and my writing again. And at that point, I think I realized the pandemic kind of made me not be such a perfectionist in a way and just kind of write for the sake of writing and see what comes out. I think the lack of pressure was good because there wasn't really any time pressure or anything like that because the world was shut down. So it kind of felt like, well, I'm just going to be writing for the sake of writing and whatever comes out. And that meant that I created the second album in that way. And it did mean that the sound kind of progressed in a way that I don't think it would have done without the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on this. I agree with you. A lot of people are like, oh my gosh, I'm creating so much stuff. And in my head, my head was void. I mean, December of 2020, I did get the first COVID, so I was tired and in the mood for a lot of stuff. But yeah. I definitely agree with you in the sense that I was not motivated to write anything here. I was just like, music. I completely understand that. Now, you get involved in music. Was it something that you saw, you heard? What made you decide that Vega Sanchez, and now the artist Salt Ashes, needs to be involved in the music industry?
It kind of happened quite naturally, actually. I think from a very young age, I was always just singing, you know, always wanting to perform and doing like whatever performance I could do at school, I would always try and go for it. And then about 14, that's when I kind of did something what I would consider a little bit more serious. I could enter a school singing competition, which is obviously not very serious, but at that time it felt like it was. And then, from there, just kind of, I think everything just kind of fell into place. But I think maybe I was about 16 when I thought, when I learned that I could probably do it as a profession. Whereas before that, it was just kind of maybe a dream or just like a thing that, just something that I love doing. So from there, I realized I could study it. And that meant that it pleased my parents, because obviously my parents wanted me to get an education. And I was like, well, if I go to college and uni to do music, then that kind of kills two birds with one stone. It kind of happened naturally. And the music college and music uni was obviously great for that. And it just kind of carried on from there. I've always felt like I could have a career in music somehow. It just maybe wasn't necessarily like one particular road, but it could have been like a million different roads, which it has been. It really has been since I left uni. It's been like so many different things all within the music industry, which has kept me afloat and, you know, able to continue to do it full time.
Wow, that's awesome. That's really awesome. Now, how did you come up with the name Salt Ashes?
It was actually just written on the side of a boat in Brighton, and I love going by the sea. It's just like a place which totally calms me, and if I'm ever having a bad day or a bad moment in my life, then I always have to go by the sea, and it always just calms me down and just puts things in perspective. And I saw that name there, and at the time I thought it was just going to be a song lyric or something like that, and I tried to use it quite a few times and it just never quite fit. And then when my manager and I were thinking of a moniker for my name, which I thought was just going to be kind of a temporary project name, that kind of felt right because I was writing a lot about kind of like love loss and seas and all the different elements, like, you know, earth, wind, fire kind of thing. And it felt, yeah, it just felt like it really fit. And I quite like the imagery of it. Even though a lot of people think that it sounds like a rock band or like a heavy metal band.
which I love the fact that when somebody hears the name of your, thinking something really different and they get something different, which for me is very exciting. So I like that.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. I never thought about it like that, but yeah.
So how important is for you to be authentic in your music career and as a person?
I mean, it is very important. I can't say that I've maybe always done it, but it's not been intentional when I haven't done it. But right. I think it's probably like the thing that all artists want to do, and always kind of reminding themselves that can also be really easy to, you know, I'm being completely honest here, it can also be really easy to get carried away or caught up in just everything, just, you know, life and what other people say and whoever you're working with, their influence and all of that kind of stuff, or doing even just social media and seeing what's kind of happening there. But I do feel like the older I get, the easier the authenticity becomes. I think it's just because I care a little bit less about what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely in the early days, even though there was a lot of me there, there was also some industry people that were kind of pushing me down certain roads that I had no idea what was down there. And I had to kind of, well, I didn't have to, but I kind of followed them thinking that that it was gospel and they knew more than I did. And it just wasn't me. And so there definitely was a period of time, a good few years where, you know, I just didn't feel like myself as the artist that I was representing. The music was always me, but it was more so about like interviews and just how I was portraying myself. I was being told what to do and say. And obviously, as you can imagine, it's not ideal. And also not within my character. Like I'm such a headstrong person that I almost can't believe that happened to me, that I even let that happen. But as I said, I think sometimes it can be really easy to get caught up with things like that, especially if you admire or, admire the person that you're working with.
Right. No, I totally agree with you in regards to the whole, when, you know, music industry or anybody's trying to tell you what to do with your music, it's a horrible thing. I think that a lot of people don't understand the music industry anymore. I think the music industry has evolved over time in many of the genres, and that we have enabled like the radio stations or industry companies to think that there's only one way to write or one way to tell a story. And for me, it's a bunch of BS. It's like, obviously, if you're writing for sync and licensing and stuff like that, it's totally different because there's a criteria that they want, that they need for specific things. That's totally different. But when you're writing, especially if you're really into music, and when I say really into music, is if you're trying to make a difference, you know? Everybody can make a difference in any type of song or genre that they write, even if it's a love song or a breakup song, or it's about climate change or it's about abuse or whatever the case may be. Somebody's trying to give you a message. And I think that for me, with the music industry has to evolve and understand there are many ways to say something. There are many ways to sing something. And it can still be a hit. It can be a great song. It doesn't even have to start. It could be whatever. But but what needs to happen is that these industry people need to open their minds and, you know, start playing, you know, different types of songs. This is like, I just don't get the industry that much anymore. You know, they want to inundate us with the same artists all the time. It's almost as if you have to die off so that you can learn about other artists. I mean, the one thing about the pandemic is that during that time, especially with TikTok and stuff like that, people got to know other artists, independent artists, because they had time to. Because what happens is that people sit down and they listen to the same people that they know. You know, there are some people out there that will try to find other artists because they're really into music. They want to hear what people have to say. But then there's some people that are just like, okay, Taylor Swift's my thing. I'm just going to listen to that. It also helps the women in the music industry get noticed more, you know, with during the pandemic. A lot of people are like, who's this? Who's that? What do you think about all of that? I mean, in the sense of the music industry, they need to be more open-minded. It's just like, for me, people that review music only review the music they think that they want to hear. And it's not necessarily about their audience.
Yeah, it's true. I think it's really weird because, you know, recently I was having a conversation where I was thinking, oh, the music industry is changing for good, for the better. But actually, I think there's just only sort of small slivers of that every now and then, and then it just goes back to the same old stuff. One thing that I am liking in the industry at the moment is like how genres are kind of merging between, and how artists are like they're still a little bit more free with that. But then at the same time, going back to what you're saying, reviewers and stuff also won't review artists that aren't in their genre, even though we are having this kind of crossfading between genres. So I don't know, it's all a bit crazy. I mean, it's quite funny when I get the bloggers kind of reviews back, as in, so my PR will send me a list of publications that they sent my music to, and then I basically get all the feedback, which can be really brutal, and I've actually stopped reading it now. But I've actually, it was so funny because one time, I think it was for my EP, I had like one reviewer saying, this is way too FKA Twigs, and then one and like they don't like it, and then one underneath saying, I love it, it's really it sounds a little bit like FKA Twigs. One person was like, I think she should try and go a little bit more FKA Twigs or something like that. And it was like, oh god, you just can never get it right. And again, music is subjective, so
that's right. That's the key. Music is subjective.
Yeah.
There will be a bunch of people that'll love your music, and there'll be some people that are like, I don't know, it's not for me, blah blah blah. I understand completely. But those people don't understand that. You know, somebody, well, I don't like it, and it shouldn't be on the air. Okay, well, you're just one opinion. You know what I mean? It's just one opinion. That's the problem.
Yeah.
What I always tell radio people, what about if you played the song just to see what people would say?
Oh, my God. Absolutely. That'd be amazing. But no, I think they're too scared about their reputation being, well, I don't know.
But, you know, I always say, well, you know, I wish we could find the people that had the balls to do some of this stuff. Because there are too many people that are so afraid to do stuff. I can't live my life like that. I just released a song called Blocked. It's a country single. It's a different type of country single. It's very country, you know, with the banjo, fiddle, all that kind of stuff. But what's interesting is that country people don't know what to do with it. Because of the topic. So it's called Blocked, and it's about blocking people on social media. I'm a social impact message type of writer. But they don't know what to deal with that because, you know, with country music, it's about, oh, breakup, love, I miss my dog, or whatever. They don't know that there's more to write about than those typical things. That's the thing that I'm talking about. Music evolves over time, and what people, I think some people in the country industry don't even know that. I mean, I did some research. There's like country gothic, country pop, country alternative. There's so many things in different genres, and I agree with you. I think people are afraid to try something new because they're afraid that they lose their listening people. But the thing is, they may do more because they've dipped their toe in something else. Somebody said to me, Natalie, because they want to write with me, and they said, you know what I like about you, Natalie, because you tiptoe over the edge of stuff. I like to write with want to write what I'm going to write. I don't, that's why I'm a type of person that doesn't necessarily want to be on a label unless it was an indie label that allowed me to do what I want. There's no way. Mm-hmm. I want to create. Now, are you?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to take risks in life to get anywhere. That's what I always believe.
That's right. Are you on a label?
Yeah, I'm on a label, but they're an indie, a small indie label called Radical, and they're brilliant because I have, you know, they give me full artistic control and support me in every way that I need. So, yeah,
That's the beautiful thing. When you're on an indie label and they let you do your thing, they let you be the creative that you are. And I always tell people, listen, they don't tell people that paint or draw, why are you doing this? Why is the line here? Why is this blue? Why is this black? They let them create. But for some reason, the stigma in the music industry is, I don't know, that's that. That's it. That's not, it really gets on my nerves.
Yeah, I know. I think labels, they always feel like they want to be a part of the creative process. I think that's what right. always seems to happen. It's like they always want to just feel like they've had some input. And quite often, I remember when I've like worked with other artists who have been on big labels, and that the A&R will say, oh, can you turn the guitar down or whatever? And 9 times out of 10, the producer will say, yeah, I'm just going to tell them that I've turned it down and send it back to them and just see what they say. And
yeah.
9 times out of 10, it's like, yeah, God, that sounds great. Yeah, exactly. Like, you're right.
You see? It's just ridiculous. So I'm going to play your song. Body Says, tell me what that's about.
Body Says is essentially about consent and owning your own body and your choices and really just dismantling assumptions that people often put on another person. And yeah, just owning that message that consent should never be, you know, it should never be a question, or it should be asked, you know, it should be something that, but it shouldn't be questioned. So yeah, that's what Body Says is about.
All right, I'm gonna play it.
I don't need a reason, but I'm sorry, just
it's nice to meet you, I didn't catch your name. Yes, I'm single, but what a thing to say. Words on my skin, they creep in your halos made of sin and bleeding. Some boys will never learn how they should behave. No.
I don't give a damn what your body says, body says. I don't give a
Loved it. That's a great song.
Thank you.
And dead on, dead right. These people out here are crazy. So speaking of that, now you know there's a full-on movement in the United States here with women's rights, because 99.5% of the men out there in politics are trying to make this for women. There are in that crap that want to take women's right away. I just don't get it. I really don't know how people can sit down. You're pro-life, forces, whatever. But to see that people can make a decision for you, especially men that don't go through what a lot of women go through, is just ridiculous.
I know. I don't understand. Why has this even come up now? Like, why?
I think it's come up now. Well, it's been around for a while now. They've been pondering this. I think it's because they have more conservative judges in the Supreme Court now, and that they think this is the opportunity to overturn. And it's also an opportunity for men to show that they have balls and they don't. to put them on full display to say, well, we're going to tell you what to do. Like, they're trying to, I guess because of the pandemic, they're trying to take us back all the way to the 1920s. I don't know.
It's crazy.
It's incredible that women are always constantly fighting for their rights. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, even in the music industry, we have to fight to be seen and heard, and you know, even in award shows to be seen as a producer, an engineer.
I know, it's strange because we feel like things are changing positively, and we feel like we're things are finally getting to the point where it's equal, and then something like this happens again.
Yeah, and you're just like, what? Yeah, it's always a battle. There's always a group of men that are just like, no, or so, even some women that are just like, no, we should just be in the kitchen. It's like, you know what? You know what, that kind of crap. You should go live on an island all by yourselves. That's what I said.
And see how you'll manage without a woman.
Yes, I think that would be fantastic. Now, you have a music video for Body Says, right?
Yeah. That came out, I think, a couple of weeks after we released the single. The director is called Cassandra Powell. She's just such a babe. Oh, my God. So good. She was great to work with. So it was a really great experience to do that.
Tell me about your latest album release, Killing My Mind.
Killing My Mind was released in November. It's my second album, and it's really, the whole thing is basically about all different kinds of relationships in my life, from, you know, partners to friends to the patriarchy, as we're talking now. But it was kind of written in lockdown as well with my producer. Well, half was written with my producer, half just me. And my producer Louis, we spent that time together just kind of hating on the world and just, you know, questioning life and going, what are we doing? And we both definitely suffered with a bit of depression, probably like the rest of the world, and anxiety. And I think you can hear a lot of that in some of the lyric writing. But essentially, we wanted to make a real and honest album, but also something that you could dance to and cry to and laugh to and all of the different emotions. And we definitely used kind of a lot of 80s bands and songs that are our influences to reference for this album.
That's awesome. I like the title of the song. I like the title of the album.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's basically Killing My Mind is kind of like my ongoing battle with myself, where I'm my own worst enemy, and I'm my own worst critic, and I'm my harshest critic. And you know, I don't know whether you do the same thing, but I'm always in my head about something and overanalyzing, and you know, and then trying to tell myself stop analyzing and blah, blah, blah. So I feel like Killing My Mind kind of sums up, I mean, because that especially happened during the pandemic, which again, probably so many people going through the same thing.
Yeah.
And so I just really felt like Killing My Mind totally sums up, you know, I'm kind of harming myself just with my mind in a way.
Yeah, no, I think it digs deep on many levels for many different people about things that they go through, the thoughts that they come up for them. Like you could be having a great day and thinking you're okay, and then somebody says one word to you and you're like, oh, let me think about that. Maybe that's true. Oh, maybe I should. You second guess yourself all the time. And I think you're right that during the pandemic, people were really thinking about all kinds of different things. Because of the time that you had to think about things, and then you're looking at the world and you're just like, I can't believe this. I mean, in myself, I had to pinch myself every morning just to see if I didn't go back in time to the 1920s and 30s, because you never think that in the 2000s or 2020s that you're going to hear about a plague where the whole world gets shut down and you can't go outside, because if you breathe the air, you're going to get, you may die and you may get this, that, and the other. No, I completely get it. I think the album definitely came in at the right time.
How was your pandemic? How were you during it?
My pandemic, well, in the beginning, I was just like, okay. I at first I was like, oh, this is just a weird thing. And then when they shut down things, I was just like, okay, this is real. And I was working from home at the time, and a lot of things happened for me. In May of 2020, I decided to leave my job. So I was one of those, for many, many different reasons. One of the things they were asking us to get, vaccinated, I wasn't ready at that time to do that. And those other crap that was going on.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then, I mean, in November 18th, to be exact, my cat died.
My
cat had a tumor, so I had to put him to sleep. Then a friend died on the same day. I mean, ugly,
oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And then a month later, I got COVID. I was very careful, but I did go to the, I think I got it at the gym, but anyway, I have the long-term effects of the COVID. I do. I have a lot of the long-term effects. Those long-term effects are no joke. And then recently I went to the Grammys and came back with COVID again. Now I'm vaccinated and boosted and I got COVID. It was interesting.
Yeah, but I think that's quite a good place to get it, though, to say that you got it from the Grammys.
But here's the thing, though. I agree with you, but I was around 8 people, a group of 8. We all hung out together. I went to a couple of things. Out of 8 of us, only 3 of us got it.
Huh.
And I, yes, is the right word, or sound to come out, because that brings out a very interesting dynamic. It's towards certain people that have certain things in their system. And I'm a person that had it already. And I was boosted and back. And I still got it. I have a friend that's never been vaccinated or whatever and got it 3 times. They keep talking, if you get it, you're going to build up your immune system. But I think that's crap. It's BS. I don't give into it.
Hard, isn't it? I think the problem is all this stuff we don't actually know. We really don't know.
You don't. And so the second time around wasn't as bad, but I had a fever and a really bad cough, and I was tired and it messed up my brain again. And so here I am. It definitely was a crazy time. But after the year like in 2021 is when I decided, no, I got to get back into this music thing, you know, and in October of 2021, I released like 7 singles back to back. So,
nice. Yeah, yeah, so you.
Yeah, thanks. So I got back into the game and all that stuff. One of the things that I've learned because of the pandemic, because we had downtime, is, you know, I did a lot of webinars on music and TikTok and stuff like that. And TikTok's very interesting. Like, some people don't want to be on TikTok. You think it's silly. But there's so many different dynamics to it. If you can learn things, people go on there with press. They make you, some people make you laugh. Some people sing. Mm-hmm. There's dynamics, and they're saying now that more people when they Netflix is streamed way more. They said you need to do 5 videos a day. No, I don't have time for that. But I'm getting better. I don't have time for that. But they said videos that get the most views or shares are the ones where people are authentic. Authenticity is the key thing that people do. That's why I think the music industry BS to a certain degree when it comes to what they play. Because people want the authentic singer-songwriter, the independent artist. I'm not trying to poo-poo on the mainstream artists, but poo-poo, okay? Some of these artists, I mean, they have 12 songwriters for one damn song. Why do you need all the songwriters for one song?
Yeah.
Beyonce has, by the way.
It's ridiculous.
So when people see regular people doing authentic things on videos, they're like, oh, I can do that. That's what people, like, they may say, oh, there's Salt Ashes doing a song about this, that, and the other. Oh, I agree with that. I've got to listen to more Salt Ashes because they hope when I need to bang my head against the wall or whatever the case is, I can listen to Salt Ashes. This is what people want, and this is what the music is missing. Okay, they want Bieber's yummy yum yum whatever he's saying, blah blah blah, that's great, but they want authenticity.
I can't say it clear enough
and here's the kicker: the music industry for us than it was back in the day. Back in the day, you had a little a record. You go to the DJ, can you play it? 9 times out of 10, they're probably going to play it. Here, we have streaming services. We have to be on all these social media platforms. Now, when you're writing a song, if you want to, you just don't think about, okay, here's my theme, here's the story. You need to think about, will this song work? Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Can somebody can somebody get this and use it?
Yeah.
Different type of industry now.
And do you like that industry like that? This is what I ask myself every day.
That's a good question. I don't like it in the sense that now, you know, you have to be on all these things. You have to see if your song will work for somebody to use it on the TikToks and all that kind of crap. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, if somebody uses it, then they can share it. Other people can use it. You can kind of make some money. I mean, because it was streaming, we're not making it half a penny. I mean, if you're not selling merch and you're not trying to do sync and licensing, what else is there?
Yeah.
Trying to get all the streams and trying to become popular and all this crap, it makes it tougher, to be honest with you. It makes it a lot tougher for people coming out and trying to do music, because there's millions of us trying to do it, and then try to get it to these influencers. You know, they want to get paid. Nobody wants to do things to help you anymore. I just think that it's just ridiculous. They're already millionaires, but they want to get paid some more money. It's just ridiculous. I just can't.
I agree. Everything that you just said.
I'm going to play your song, Lucy. See what that's about.
Lucy's actually a very similar subject to body says, but it's actually written from my own personal experience of, you know, being at a petrol station and some guy just kind of whistling at me and, you know, winking at me and all this kind of stuff. And initially I was being polite because I thought that he recognized me. And then soon realized that he wasn't. And after that, it became very hostile and I was kind of shunned and sworn at because I said, no, thank you. And you know, it's just a very, very kind of catcalling world. And it's obviously not as bad as it used to be, but I do think that men still feel like they can sort of kiss at you and, you know, objectify you. So it's about objectification and commodification of women, basically. And Lucy represents every woman that's ever been objectified or commodified in that way.
I agree.
Don't like being inside like a mannequin behind the eyes. I stand at the gas pump. You say that I want some. You bury me for a smile, showing gonna be the
Kicked him out, and you know, he was trying to blame me. It's just like, dude, just, I mean, but, you know, it's really interesting because there have been women in the United States that have been killed because they didn't give in to the advances of a man.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's like, you know, it's such a simple word, no, but yeah, it holds so much power. And for some reason, people, why can't people just accept a no and also just accept that it might not even be personal? It might be that the other person is, you know, they're looking out for themselves. You have no idea what kind of situation they're going through or anything about them. And this is what I was saying about body says. It's like, it's trying to dismantle those assumptions that we put on other people, because just because someone is smiled at you or is wearing a low-cut top or is even just like being polite and talking to you, it does not mean that you can assume that they want anything more from you. And then when we get that no, when people get a no, they get offended. But it's like, just take the no, man, and go, no worries, see you later.
Right. No, yeah. What is your writing process like? And if you get writer's block, how do you deal with it?
You know, I feel like I have writer's block 98% of the time, and then when I write a song, I get like imposter syndrome, which is mad. But the way that I normally write a song is I always start with like some chords, and then I start, and then I create a melody, and then the lyrics usually come afterwards. But as I said, yeah, like whenever I've written a song, I'm always like, did I write that? No, I don't think I wrote that. And it's like, no, you did. And it's just this full imposter syndrome every single time. So yeah, I feel like I'm in a continuous writer's block for my entire life.
Oh, wow. I mean, I'm still old school. I usually yell at the piece of paper on the screen. Why isn't anything coming out? And then
That's a good technique. I should try that.
You know, yeah, do it. Just yell and see if it starts pop up.
Go on. You walk away.
And then I come back. I sleep on it.
Yeah.
The thing is, I can't be forced to write. That's also the problem. Like, when I'm forcing nothing will come through.
Yeah. You know what I've started doing actually as well? First of all, is cold showers in the morning. That seems to just help everything. And also, the first thing that I do when I wake up in the morning is I grab my notepad and I just write whatever is in my mind. Yeah, have you heard of that book, The Artist's Way?
I like to start with the chorus and I work around the chorus for my team. And that's the way I'm able to build, create a song. And sometimes I try to do the first verse, bridge, whatever. But then I'm like, why am I doing that? I now find that I like to write like poem rather than doing that. I do folk Americana, country, singer, songwriter type of things. I mean, I write several different genres, but when I'm supposed to write for myself, I find that I like it better. I like storytelling of writing a poem rather than for me, it seems like it's very rigid to keep writing the same way, you know?
Right. And then I
see myself and say, no, I can do whatever I want. And then the interesting irony is those are songs that people like, oh my God, this is different. Oh my God, Natalie, this is so good. And then they just don't know where to put you. what do you love most about being an artist?
I think probably the freedom of expression and also having a platform to be able to get, people talking about topics like consent and women's rights and things like that. And I think I've really appreciated how important that is and how I should utilize it more until quite recently. But now I really appreciate it, especially I appreciate it when the song Lucy came out, because I had so many women coming forward and messaging me about all of their experiences, which was obviously really sad, but also kind of highlighted how important it is that people like me and yourself, we do use our platform to start conversations, because it, I also had men messaging me, you know, asking me what the problem was. And, you know, it's just like, okay, well, let's have a conversation about it. And so, I kind of suddenly see the value in that. And I think that's really important as artists to utilize that as much as they can.
That's pretty awesome. Now, what are three things you wish you had known before you got into the music industry?
That people will, can I swear on here?
Yeah, you can.
People will bullshit you till the cows come home.
That's right, man.
Like, over and over and over again. Number two, that you're going to question and doubt yourself every day and just
right.
keep doing you and don't question that. And number three, I would just tell myself to make sure that you enjoy the journey, and it's because it's not about the end goal, it's about the journey.
And you said all of it. Said all of it. Also, know that the music industry is a lot of work. It's just it. No matter how you spin it,
yeah.
It is a lot.
Well, you know, the thing is, I knew that. I was told that before I started, but I don't think you really know in terms of experience.
Exactly. You're just like,
Actually, another thing that I probably tell myself is to just do everything, any opportunity that comes to you, just to do it.
Right.
You know, if it falls in line with your message, obviously, it can't just be like.
Right.
But the thing is, like, as long as it's not going to damage your career, then you just never
right.
know what comes from what opportunity. Certain things, like big opportunities, can come from the tiniest thing that you never thought was going to happen, or never thought anything was going to come of. I've had that happen to me so many times. Like, I'd do something which was like for free, and I'd think, why am I doing this for free? I'm so over this now. But, you know, whatever. And then I'd meet someone there that ended up being like, you know, the person that I wrote my next best song with, or, you know, someone that I then got put in a session with another artist that I wanted to work with for ages, or, you know, things like that. So I just feel like you never know what can come from any opportunity.
Nope, you just never know. I agree with you 100%. And that one thing that I learned is that many people will come to you out of the woodwork after telling you they can be a star. Don't believe them. Do your diligence. Reach people. Left and right.
So true.
I mean, it's totally sad. I mean, and then people get scammed out of thousands of dollars. It's just this industry is so there's so many things you can enjoy. But there's so many things you truly have to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
One last thing. What is a quote or message or passage you like to use to motivate yourself? Or when you're feeling down, what do you like to say to push yourself?
What do I say to push myself? I mean, the journey thing is, I do always remind myself that to enjoy the journey and to focus on that journey, because quite often you've got one kind of event or something that you're aiming towards, and if it hasn't happened yet, you feel really disheartened. So I'm always telling myself it's about the journey, like, just focus. And one other thing is, I'm like, just each day as it comes, just let's focus on right now, here, right now. All you have to do
yep.
is this next. All you have to do is the next thing that you're about to do, and only focus on that, and don't think about what's ahead of that.
No, I completely agree with you.
What's yours?
Me is I write my own narrative.
Ah, nice.
And I started to do that this past year because of many different things. But you know, people always argue that the press, oh, they always write the wrong things. And I said, that's because you've enabled press. You know, if somebody writes something that's not true about me, I always get them to either change it or take it down. So I don't pay any cost. And also, sometimes people want to pigeonhole you in a specific genre or stuff mm-hmm. like that. But you know who you are as an artist. So I say, I write my own narrative. You can't tell me who or what I am. I will tell you that.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'll be honest, on a daily basis, I'm always thinking, oh my God, I don't know if I want to do this music thing. And then somebody will call me or I'll get an email to motivate me and say, no, that's all, I love this song. It's really, I needed to hear this off. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it was worth it. I always say if you manage to reach just one person with whatever song you've written, it feels like it's worth it.
That's right. I agree with you. Now tell our audience where they can find you on this wonderful internet.
This incredible internet space that we all love so much. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and it's all at Salt Ashes.
Salt Ashes.
Easy.
Well,
easy.
I am so happy that you were able to log on and on.
Finally, thank you so much for being so patient with that.
Oh, no worries. The internet is just, you know, these gadgets, all these platforms are different. They're crazy. They drive us crazy. But this is the world we live in. You know, we multitask. We try to get things done. Sometimes things happen like that. But you got on, and I'm honored to have you on Chatting with Nat. It was my pleasure.
Thank you so much.
You have
it's
a great
day. Chatting to you.
Thank you. You have a great voice. You have a great message. I hope everybody listens to your music. I mean, because
thank you. Yeah,
come and
say hi.
I love it.
And I can't wait to check out your music as well.
Oh, thank you so much. It's similar to the stuff I like to talk about. I mean, I talk about a lot of many different things, but you hit on a lot of subjects that are just so real. And I think that's what the world needs, is the realness of the artistry that we can give out there. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, everybody, this is Chatting with Nat with recording artist Salt Ashes. She's amazing. You heard her, where you can find her music. But if you don't remember, we have that beautiful thing called Google. Just Google her and find her amazing repertoire, stream her stuff, buy her stuff. Yeah, you know, people can still buy stuff. You know, we're trying to make a living doing this music. We're trying to get the messages out. Follow us. Love us.
Please love us.
Don't be crazy and stalkerish, but you know what I mean.
Love us with the right amount.
All right, until next time on Chatting with Nat. Bye.
Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard.